you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
We're live with the Believe You Me podcast. Anthony's home with the bits and bob. And I am in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Let me ask you this, Anthony, and now looking at you, I already know the answer to my question, but have you ever had the fear of going to an unknown barber's or hairdresser's?
Yeah, when I was younger, when I had hair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've just woke up and I've just reapplied a little bit of product because it was sticking up. It was like I had my fingers in the electric socket. I looked like fucking Doc Brown from Back to the Future 2 minutes ago. I haven't really styled it the best, but my regular stylist, fucking the girl that cuts my hair, what a prick. She cancelled on me Monday. And I'm like, I've got to get a haircut because it was pretty bad. So I'm looking around and this guy says, oh, this one's good. I walk around the corner. We're in Brazil, right? There's a nice hotel, but when you go outside, you know, it's not the nicest, shall we say. There's a motorcycle repair shop with a bunch of guys all fixing, covered in oil and shit. And then, like, attached to it, there's, like, the grimiest fucking barbers you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, shit. The guy didn't speak a word of English. Do you know what I mean? I'm and I'm going to be on TV. Google Translate for the win.
Oh, there we go.
I Google translated the whole thing. That's okay. It's not bad. Shout out to the Brazilian. Anyway, how are you, Anthony?
I'm good. We're going through, I've been busy as shit all day. Halloween's a big holiday around here. Christmas is big. Thanksgiving. It's just the wintertime holidays are big. So my whole house was Halloween shit everywhere. So spent all day taking down decorations. I had a whole graveyard in my front yard I had to take down. Busy work.
Good. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed I didn't get to see Lucas because as he's getting older, there won't be too many more Halloweens. I was on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. I was saying, why do people dress up? I say it every year. I'm a miserable bastard. And then I posted a picture of Lucas. He dressed up as Big Bird from Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I thought you were hating on Halloween. I'm like, yeah, for adults. If you have children, fine. You know what I mean? Right. But when I was at the airport, all the staff and stuff, they're all dressed up. I'm like, come on, grow up.
Oh, I dressed up hard.
What'd you go as?
Well, we had an adult Halloween party in the neighborhood, and me and my wife were an old couple, and it was perfect. Like, we had the
easy,
old people
easy
makeup.
Disguise for you guys.
Yeah, I cut the, like, I let my hair grow a little bit longer, so I cut the toilet bowl bald on the top of my head. I had this big old man belly. I had a cane. My wife had a walker. Nice. It was funny. And then with the kids, we did a Hocus Pocus theme for the whole family. So I was Billy Butcherson, which was pretty
nice.
Good, too.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, if you go to a Halloween party, again, fine. No issue with it. Have fun.
I'm a nerd. I'm good with it.
No, but that's all right. That's all right. Speaking of fighting nerds, Caio Barreiro will be competing this weekend, as well as the Black Beast, Derrick Lewis. We'll get into that in a little bit. But as I said, if you just, like, I don't know, you used to work. Whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm like, come on, bro. I don't want somebody serving my food with smeared makeup all over his face trying to feel ghouly. I was like, fuck off. Give me the pizza and get out of it. Leave you a good tip. Anyway, what should we start with? I'm in Sao Paulo. I just woke up from a nap, so I'm a little bit...
I don't think I've seen it in the notes, but I did see it making the rounds on the MMA Twitter today. That was a pretty big deal. I know you've been traveling, but did you see the heated argument that Chael and Ariel got into?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah. I woke up this morning and I saw it. Ariel, they're proudly, you know, I posted the receipts again.
Yeah, the 10-7, you know. It was out of character for Chael. It was a little bit out of character for Chael. I was a little bit surprised. Ariel, he's been kind of coming at people. He's, you know, he's... standing up for himself and what he believes a little more in the last couple of years, but it seemed a little bit out of character for Chael. That's really the newsworthy part of it for me. I've never really seen Chael irritated in all the years I've been working with him.
Well, I never saw the entirety of it. And mm-hmm. and then afterwards, we don't need to play Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to get too into it. I was just more, you wanted to see your reaction on, on Chael being so upset.
Did he threaten to strangle him or something like that? I saw some tweet.
No, not really. It wasn't too many serious threats. He was real upset, and he was angry, and I've never seen Chael angry before.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, to a certain degree, we were talking about people that play personas recently, weren't we? Was that an mm-hmm. episode on the podcast? Yeah. Chael plays a great persona. Oh, we were talking about Chael. You know what I mean? You never know. Now, maybe Ariel did get under his skin because...
Oh, he did.
He gets under people's skin lately. Do you know what I mean? Jeez, I'm not sure what's happened to that guy. He gets on his high horse, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's making eyes. Oh, you would have thought that he was in the ring fighting Tyson Fury.
I kind of like it, to be honest. I kind of like it. It's entertaining. And I feel like, I think because I was picked on so much as a young kid and kind of bullied a little bit, I think we've seen a lot of years of people kind of bullying and running over Ariel a little bit, and he never really said anything. And so I think I enjoy seeing him push back. Whether he's right or wrong depends on the scenario, but I do enjoy watching him push back.
Yeah. Well, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. One for the bullies. Speaking of bullies and stuff like that, we'll just talk about this real quick. Last night on Twitter, I put a little tweet out saying, I'm sick and tired of seeing videos of people doing horrendous things in society. I can't remember the exact word. And people standing by and doing nothing. You know what I mean? And what I'm talking about is you go to Twitter today and the horrific shit that you see, you know what I mean? Whether it's obviously there's all the conflict going on in the Middle East. I'm not talking about that, which is awful. The innocent lives that are being lost all over the place, Ukraine, you name it, all over the world of sadness. But I'm talking about, I'm always seeing gangs of people running into stores and robbing things. I'm always seeing a group of young lads beating the shit out of some indefenseless, poor little kid that can't mm-hmm. fire back. I'm always seeing some guy getting beat up off a woman. But in every video, there's always a bunch of people filming them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I that's what I don't understand. And I'm not trying to sound like a tough guy or a hero, far from it. But I just don't think, and I feel like you'll be the same. If I was standing there and there was some kind of injustice going on, certainly when it starts to get violent, mm-hmm. Words are one thing. Here's a news flash for you. Words won't hurt you, okay? So if you're going to get worked up over words, that's up to you. But if once people start getting violent and it's someone that doesn't want it and they're defenseless and they're outmatched or outnumbered, I would not be able to stand there, A, with my phone, but then B, just do nothing and let these people get beat up. I've seen all kinds of shit. In some cases, you've seen people get murdered. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, when you brought it up yesterday, it kind of hits like a soft spot because when I was in elementary school, I lived in Colorado Springs, and they have those like jungle gym, the metal kind of dome things, And at recess, like I was the nerdy, I was like, I kind of lived in a bad, not a great neighborhood, a lot of gang activity, a lot of drugs in the area. And I was kind of the nerdy kid. Like I used to get made fun of because my mom made me wear pants that fit correctly. Like I wasn't sagging and I wasn't trying to be a cool kid.
So, Anthony, pants fit proper Smith.
Yeah, my pants fit and they would just make fun of me. So then I would push back a little bit. Well, anyways, we'd go inside this jungle gym and I'd have to fight like three or four of them at a time. And all the other kids would lay over the top of the jungle gym to block the view from all the teachers. So like, I don't know. I feel like I've been that person before where there was like no one that would help me out or stand up for me or had a friend or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think I molded a lot of the reason I am the way I am today, but I can't stand, like to your point, I can't stand. I don't think that I would even think about my own well-being in a lot of those situations. Like I just couldn't stand by. And I'm not some badass or I'm brave or I wouldn't be able to stop. I wouldn't be able to not help. You know what I mean? In some way.
Well, it's even worse as well, because as I saw in a lot of the people commenting, and they are correct, if it's like a lot of times you'll get arrested now. Apparently in New York City, if you step in, and maybe Harrington and Brian can elaborate on this, in New York City, and I don't know the rules there because I don't live there, but if you step in to help somebody, if you stop a robbery, if you just try and be a good Samaritan, a lot of the time, you'll end up in trouble with the law. And of course, you're going to end up getting yourself, you're going to be involved. And I understand people don't want a quiet life, you know, but as I said, just as who I am as a human being, I'd say, and that's what's wrong with the world. So like now, good people can't step in and stop the bad people. Well, what do you think is going to happen? It's just going to spiral further and further and further. And shit's going to continue to get even more wild than what it already is.
That's the price you pay.
Let me tell you, it's wild.
That's the price you pay, though. Like, if I was going to step in and I'm going to end up getting in trouble, like, it fucking is what it is. You know, like, I guess we'll go through it. Like, fortunately, I think both of us are very fortunate. Our bosses are very understanding. I think if we said, here's the deal, someone was getting, you know, beat up or bullied or trampled or whatever, we couldn't stand by. I think we'd be left alone.
Exactly. Well, look at that thing. We're talking about Dana, of course. Look at what he did with the Best Buy employee. It was a couple of years ago. Right?
Yeah. Remember I see her all the time at the Apex.
yeah, me too. Like, just to recap, some people ran into Best Buy, tried to rob the place. Well, did rob the place. She wrestled one of them to the floor, got fired. That should be employee of the month. That should be here. Take your pick of whatever TV you want because we're proud of you. Thanks for putting your neck on the line because you didn't have to do that. Instead, she got fired. Do you know what I mean? So being a good person, now you get punished.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
It's insane to me. It's insane. And anyway, I damn sure couldn't record it.
Yes.
Like the stuff that people record on their phones, even... Again, I'm not getting into it, but all the things that are happening all over the world, most of the footage is cell phone footage. Like, who's thinking at that moment to like, I better get my phone out? Like, that's crazy to me. Crazy.
Yeah, it's even worse. I'm going to get into MMA in just a second, guys. but yeah, you're right. People live through their phones these days, whether it is some kind of tragic event unfolding before their very eyes, let's pull the phone out. Whether it's someone dying on the ground or they're at a concert or at a fight, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, put the phone away for just a second. Can you be in the moment for crying out loud? Anyway, Boomer Bisping rant over. Yeah. Let's start with this because I just got done speaking to Derek Lewis.
Speaking of going to jail.
Speaking of going to jail. Oh, God. Derek Lewis, Gelton Almeida. Took the fight on 3 weeks' notice, but he was in the news a day or two ago. Was it yesterday or whatever?
Yeah.
136 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. I like Derek. I think we all know that's a little bit reckless. But come on, hand on heart. And before you will start always defending Izzy for drink driving. I never defended Izzy. I was just saying, what is it? What was the expression? The biblical expression. He without sin cast the first stone or something like that.
Yeah,
this is when we need Bryce Mitchell. Yeah, he without like y'all damn stupid, right? The earth is flat, and let y'all without sin cast the first stone. Okay,
something like that.
I just said about Izzy. I think we've all had a beer or two and got behind the wheel. No one's proud of that. And I think, to be fair, not to the defense, but let's just be understanding human beings. But I don't know about going 136 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. Anthony, have you ever broken such a law?
Yeah, I used to ride motorcycles. I've been hammering down at 150 a couple times. But it was in a 75, so that's different. You know what? There's a couple things I'm shocked about. Number one.
The Lamborghini.
The number one, I'm surprised Derek Lewis's big ass fits in a Lamborghini. You ever been in a Lamborghini?
tiny.
You got to fall in and roll out. Like I'm squished in a Lamborghini, and Derek Lewis is significantly larger than me, and he's in a really nice Lamborghini. We're lucky he was only doing 136.
Yeah.
Like that's you know what? It's reckless. I'm glad that he wasn't like also drunk or a lot of the things you see happen with professional athletes. I'm sure he was like, you know what? I'm an idiot. That's, you know, whatever. So it's definitely reckless. I don't condone it, but I mean, it's Derek Lewis. What are we completely shocked? He's a maniac.
Well, if you have a Lamborghini,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be tempted to put the foot down. You know what I'm saying? You just are.
Oh,
you know
he's a car mean? Guy too. I'm jealous. Yeah. A lot of his stuff I'm jealous of.
So we had the fighter meeting today, and that was the first thing I said when he sat down. I said, Derek, we're just going to get this off the top. I said, I'm not throwing any shade or anything like that. I said, but 136 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone in a Lamborghini. I said, I'm just shocked you could fit in a Lamborghini. And then Zach, who's head of production here at the UFC, was like, oh, you had a Lamborghini, and he brings it up. He says, oh, this one? And Zach brings up a video. There's a video. Mm-hmm. Must have been a countdown show or something. You know what his response was?
Huh.
Oh, that's the old one.
Oh, that's the old
one. I got another new one. Derek Lewis is doing good.
Hell yeah.
Derek Lewis makes me happy.
That makes me happy for him. Hell yeah. You get a new Lamborghini, my friend.
Where's my Lamborghini? I need a Lamborghini. Oh God, what's this?
Oh yeah.
You gotta make it red. Let's have a look. He's lost 15 pounds. He took this fight on 3 weeks' notice against Yailton Almeida. Mm-hmm. He's been running a bit recently. Let's remember, because it wasn't that long ago, because I brought it up again. I said, what did you tell me? I said, you should do like 20 minutes a day. He said, yeah, I used to do 20 minutes on the Stairmaster 3 times a week. That was his training for UFC fights.
Oh, yeah, before he started taking it serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 minutes on the Stairmaster 3 times a week.
That's crazy. So does he look lean?
Oh, does he ever? He looks very, very lean. However, I mean, we know he's the knockout king, 14 knockouts. He broke Matt Brown's record again. So he's now the leader. Just signed a new contract. So Derek Lewis has the possibility, opportunity to, you know, listen, anytime Derek fights, if he wins, there's probably going to be a knockout, you know? So he has an opportunity here to get another 5-6 knockouts, you never know, and leave anyone in the dust, you know what I'm saying? And probably end up in the Hall of Fame for having the most knockouts ever. A man that started his career walking a Stairmaster, and he could be in the Hall of Fame. What a story.
A man who was in prison not long before he started fighting, and I think he worked as a garbage man. He was like driving a garbage truck or something like that. I hope I don't got that wrong. But if I remember right on the story, that was it. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
Hey, but it just shows, doesn't it? What an inspirational figure that he is in his community, I'm sure. And what a life. What a story. Yeah. What's the worst job you ever did, Anthony? Like the most grimiest, crappiest, low-paid, miserable, hating life job you've ever done?
Oh, I was a concrete finisher. So when I was like, before I was a finisher, I was a laborer. And, you know, being the laborer to a bunch of finishers working concrete in the cold, the heat, the weekends, the late nights, it was terrible. It was a really hard job.
Yeah.
I did that all the way until 2016. I was a full-time concrete finisher and fighting in the UFC.
Do you know what, to be honest, I remember we call that groundworking in England, groundworks. I aspired to be a groundworker. I wanted to be a ground, and I did do it for a little bit. I've done everything under the sun, but all the shitty factory jobs, just mindless.
Oh, the factory job sucked. I had two of those too.
Oh God, awful, man.
And I was a server, like a waiter at a truck stop, working the overnight shift at a big truck shop. They had like a restaurant in there. That one fucking sucked too.
I saw this. I just shared this on Instagram today. I just brought it up. He said, how in the hell could a man enjoy being awakened at 6:30 a.m. by an alarm clock, leap out of bed, dress, force feed shit down his throat, piss, brush his teeth and hair, fight traffic to get to a place where essentially you made lots of money for somebody else and then were asked to be grateful for the opportunity to do so?
Yeah.
I don't miss those days. I do not miss those days. Right, so Yailton Almeida taking on Derek Lewis.
Hold on, I'm glad you didn't ask Brian or Harrington that same question, because they'd be like, we're fucking doing it right now.
Well, Brian was a concrete finisher.
Best job. But no, I wasn't a concrete finisher, but I was a laborer on construction sites for electricians and plumbers.
Yeah, that's
I was quite happy being a laborer, if I'm honest. You know what I mean? It was back in the day. You know, isn't it funny that, because, you know, without sounding like an asshole, life's... You know, we're very comfortable. But sometimes we yearn, Rebecca and I, for the simpler times. You know, when we were younger and when we were broke, yeah, we were broke. But we didn't realize it back then. That was just life. It was simpler. Yeah. It wasn't as complicated. There wasn't as much pressure. And we were just scraping along. And I tell, like, I tell him, obviously, because he's broke and young now, you know. I have a couple of young people that I give advice to regularly. I'm like, look, listen, you know, don't worry about it. This is life. This is how it's meant to be. Unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Life's going to be hard. You're young. You're inexperienced. You know, in terms of life, you're dumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're starting out. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, me and Michaela have had those same. That's funny you bring that up. We've had those same conversations where, I don't know, something will come up. Some problem that we would never have when life was simple and, and you're broke, right? And I remember just thinking, like, I never used to have these problems. Like, they can have all that shit. I don't want anything to do with all those problems. But like you said, sometimes I do miss the... There's a lot of times I wake up and I don't got shit to do, right? Like, I have shit to do, but like, there's nothing that's pressing, you know? Like, I kind of miss the times where, like, I tell myself I need to get on a better schedule. And like, I wake up at this time. I get my kids off to the school. Then I got to get a workout. Like, I need to like schedule myself better. Cause back then everything was so structured. Like, I had to be up at a certain time to go to work and I had to leave at this time. And then lunch is at this time. And then I'm off at this time. I don't have that same structure. That's a hard word to say with this retainer. Structure.
In my
life. Yeah. I do miss that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can stick it up your ass. I mean, it was simpler, but I prefer having money in the bank, if I'm honest. I'm just throwing it out there. All right.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ailton Almeida, undefeated in the UFC. I think, what is he, 4-0, something like that, came off the contender, if I'm not mistaken. Came off the contender, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-0, all finishes, mainly in the first round or the second round. Usually, he's wrestling to great effect, which is even more impressive because he never grew up wrestling. He never did proper wrestling, just started doing MMA, doing a bit of Thai boxing. And now you would think that he was like an NCAA Division I wrestler when you look at the guy. Well, certainly the way that he does his double leg takedowns. And Derek Lewis, remember he was meant to take on Curtis Blaydes originally. 3 weeks ago, he got injured. Derek Lewis steps in. Banger, obviously, in Derek Lewis, the knockout king versus Ailton Almeida. It's no secret what he's going to do. How do you see this one going down, Anthony?
Man, these aren't the type of guys that typically beat Derek Lewis. It's really not. It's other strikers. The other stand-up guys are the ones that Derek seems... The more technical, not as hard-hitting guys are kind of the guys that Derek has a problem with. Wrestlers don't usually seem to give him too many problems. He'll get taken down, but you can bet your ass he'll lay there for a second and he just stands up whenever he's ready. It's the weirdest thing. His get-ups are the most untechnical, like weird kind of just stiff arms people on their way up. But what the hell is this?
Yeah, what the hell was that? It looked like Charles Oliveira falling through gravity.
A meme that's been going around the last day or so where it says Ailton Almeida has Derek Lewis in a deep body triangle, Derek Lewis, and it just is a takedown in reverse.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I don't know that Derek will get it done. I think he's got a good chance, especially with a guy like Almeida who can't risk standing in front of him. So it forces Almeida to be predictable because he has to wrestle to avoid the big shot of Derek Lewis. So that, kind of like Curtis Blaydes with Derek Lewis, like he knows that Blaydes can't stand in front of him. So he has to shoot. So he just times it, hits him with that nasty uppercut, and the lights go out. He does tend to deal with double legs better than singles and body lock takedowns as well. Almeida is a big double leg guy, so I think he's I would guess he's the underdog. I don't know, but I would guess Derek Lewis is the underdog, and that's, you know, if I was a betting man, that'd probably be the bet I would take.
Yeah, according to Harrison right there, plus 360 underdog. And listen, Jarlton is very effective with that double leg. He does shoot from the outside. He does telegraph it a little bit, but he's so fast and explosive with it, he still gets it. But you got to look at the Curtis Blaydes matchup, right? Because there it is. That's essentially, I won't say a reincarnation, but stylistically, it is.
It's the same fight.
It was the ultimate game of chicken, weren't it? Derrick Lewis stood there against the fence. Curtis Blaydes was there just out of range. And they're like, I'm going to shoot on you. And he's like, and I'm going to fucking uppercut you. Come on, bitch. Come on. Let's
go. First. No, you go first.
Let's go.
No, you go
first. Let's go.
First.
Come on. And then boom, Lewis sent him to the Shadow Realm.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that's great. I see that being a possibility. I really do. Because Derrick Lewis will show some. He shows some flashes of like some really quality technique every once in a while. Like,
yeah,
he has it in, and it's in there. You can see it's in there somewhere. And every once in a while, when it's absolutely necessary, he pulls it out.
So, with that said, Mr. I'm sitting on the fence there. Anthony Pants won't.
I'm going to go Derrick Lewis.
Pants won't fit proper. Okay. He's got Lewis. You got Lewis, but obviously by knockout.
Oh, yeah. You can't make a prediction. Yeah, by knockout.
Given the fact that he took it on 3 weeks' notice and it's a 5-round fight.
Yeah, I would never count. I would never count on. I would never make a Derrick Lewis prediction based on how many rounds it was. Because if it's 3 or 5, he ain't making it to the end anyways.
Given the fact that Jarlton Almeida submitted everyone in almost the first round, but he went to the second sometimes, and he's got a very good submission game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's.
Given the fact that Jarlton Almeida is Brazilian and this fight is taking place in Sao Paulo.
Yeah, I think it's better that it's in Sao Paulo.
Given the fact that Jarlton Almeida is facing a man in Derrick Lewis that has just come under public scrutiny by crashing driving a Lamborghini and getting pulled over at 136 miles an hour.
I think that's also even better. If he's in a reckless type of mood, that's even better. Because it's when
Derrick Lewis has lost weight. I'm running out of things. I'm running out of giving off the facts.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
Well, here's the deal. With all of that said, Derrick Lewis by knockout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen that video where it's like, Derrick Lewis who are they talking about? I don't remember who it was, but they're like, he's a better striker. He's a better wrestler. He's got better jujitsu. His cardio's better. He's bigger. He's more athletic. He's faster. With all that said, Derrick Lewis by knockout.
I have seen that. It's hilarious.
Yep. Oh, God. That's where I'm at right now.
Do you know when in last fight, he went out and did the Jorge Masvidal, didn't he? Against Marcos Rogério de Lima. Yeah. Knocked him out flying knee super quick. What did he say to Rogan afterwards on the microphone? Because he didn't do the balls were hot, but he said something funny.
I don't remember what it was. It was funny, though. Man, I was going crazy. I was jumping up and down. My suit was coming untucked. I didn't give a shit. I was hype.
Because I'm doing the interview, so I want to preempt it. I'm saying, is there, you know, any part of your body?
Derek, what's the temperature of your balls?
Exactly. What's the big news, Harrington? Jump on the show, buddy. Jump on the show. And I hate saying this to Harrington because he'll come out with some obscure little take from Aaron Bronstetter surrounding some bloody XYZ that no one cares about. Shout out Aaron Bronstetter, by the way. Great journalist. I don't know
why he came in my head.
He's really good. He's really good. Whoa! Herringbone.
What's up?
You ever seen the movie Coneheads?
Oh, man, don't do this to me. I have. It's a classic. Why do you ask?
It is a classic. I don't know, but I feel like I'm an extra on Coneheads with you two. My God, let's get Brian on to balance things out. What's the big story right now, Harrington?
Oh, I just had
Brian's all day. Oh, look, go on, Brian.
Hey, I'm here. We can be the hair team.
Yes, thank you.
Team hair.
Thank you.
I just had the Derrick Lewis quote. Rogan asked me if he planned on opening with the flying knee, and he said, nah, man, hell nah. I just planned on throwing some bullshit and see if it landed.
See, even that read by you, it's hilarious. Yeah. He's such an unassuming guy because he walked into the fighter meetings today. And like, he's a likable guy. He's a man of few words. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, like some fighters, they start doing a bit well. They start, you know, they'll have a Rolex on. They'll do this. They got the designer shoes, like us assholes. But he came in just like a plain red, really ill-fitting T-shirt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a pair of baggy shorts, just plunked himself down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, but then he's knocking motherfuckers out. Do you know what he said? Which is in contrast to what I just said. I said, oh, so you got the fight 3 weeks ago. Tell me about that. He said, well, I'm not doing a Derek Lewis impression. You get called racist these days for impression, which is ridiculous. He just popped a bottle of champagne.
Oh, yeah.
And they called. He just popped a bottle of champagne and they called him. I said, popped a bottle of champagne? Who is this guy? He said, yeah, well, we had a private chef over cooking dinner for my wife and I. I'm like, hold on a minute. You got private chefs. You're popping champagne. You're driving Lamborghinis. Brian, just edit out the last 5 minutes of this podcast. He's not unaffected at all. Nah, what a guy. Right. Shout out. So officially, you got Derek Lewis by knockout, correct?
I do. Yep, I do.
Okay. Now, Harrington, if you don't mind coming on again.
Okay. Probably the biggest story this week. You know, it's long been teased. People have been saying there's rumors about it. This week, the UFC came out and said December 2nd, they are heading back to Austin, Texas. The main event is going to be Arman Tsarukyan versus Beneil Dariush. And the co-main event is also going to be a five-round fight, Dan Hooker versus Bobby Green.
Oh. Why is the co-main event a five-round fight?
I don't know.
Why Harrington.
Why would those two make it a five-round fight?
Yeah, I don't understand. It's not like there's a BMF title. They're not neither man's former champions. Is there any reasoning behind that, or did they just wanted it five rounds?
Dana didn't say. He just said it's, you know, when you have two guys of this caliber who are this exciting and fun to watch, you know, they want to go a little bit longer. You know, I would have to assume it was a coin flip in the back as to who was going to be the main event, because obviously Tsarukyan, Dariush, they have the rankings, but as far as eyes for a show, what people are going to want to see, Bobby Green and Dan Hooker, it's really hard to find a lightweight contest that's going to bring more eyeballs.
Sure.
Well, I don't know about, I'm not picking, I'm being pedantic, Harrison. A lightweight contest that's going to bring more eyeballs. Well, I don't know. You could do Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. You could do Justin Gage versus anyone.
Bobby Green, King.
Bobby Green. Bobby Green and Dan Hooker. That's the one.
For a fight night, for sure. For a fight night, definitely.
You're going to be in Austin, Texas.
Potentially. Yeah, I have a teammate that just got on that card. So, yeah, maybe.
I'm commentating, bro.
Let's go. Yeah. Maybe hanging out in MSG, maybe Austin. Pets' heads are falling off.
I saw someone in the comments saying, you know, Mike always says this, and they never hang out. And people are like, yeah, it's so weird, isn't it? So weird. It's like, hold on a minute. You do realize that we have work obligations. When we're at these things, it's not like, you know, hey, we're partying. When you were in Singapore, I was doing the post-fight show. I'm sure you were off getting seen to by doctors when I finished at 2 o'clock in the morning, so on and so forth. In Paris, same shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same
you
did shit. Your we're thing. Working.
Yeah, yeah. We're working, baby. We're working. Beneil Dariush came out and he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, Arman Tsarukyan, that guy's the future. He's so technical. He works so hard. And that's why I want to fight him. Because not only do I want the biggest fights, the biggest names on my resume, I want to be able to say that I fought the best as well. He said he believes that Tsarukyan is the future of the division.
Yeah, I totally agree. 100% I agree with him. I think it's a good matchup stylistically for Beneil too. It's a good young up and comer to kind of put that notch in his belt over one of those real young up and comers that everyone has really holds in high regard. You know, you kind of seen Gamrot and Tsarukyan was a really close fight, and then you seen Gamrot with Beneil. It was kind of, you could tell one of those guys is a little more experienced, a little bit bigger on a different level, and understands the game at a deeper level than that. And I think that only comes with time and experience and really just cage time, like just being in there. You can just tell one of those guys is just on a different level a little bit.
Now, if I was to say three words to you. Where do you think I'm going next?
I don't know. Where are you going?
No Man Alive! Where am I going next?
No Man Alive.
No Man Alive should have to do a podcast in Sao Paulo without a beer. No. I'm seeing reports. I'm on a group chat. Francis Ngannou will be boxing again.
I hope
December 23rd.
Against who?
Well, because that was going to be a massive fight. They were going to do Usyk versus Fury, remember. And now, because of whatever, you know, Tyson needs to brush up, build his confidence, whatever it is, get in better shape. You know, they don't want to rush it, even though they signed the contract. And as we know, by the way, how good was Adam Catchell on Monday?
He was incredible. He was incredible. Yeah. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, Adam, and he's got a lot of knowledge on it. I think we make him our boxing correspondent going forward.
I think that's smart. Yeah, because he, or, like, any questions we had, he was like, all right, well, here's how it works.
Well, he does talk sport. He does a lot of boxing coverage, as well as him and Nick Pete's podcast, Fight Disciples, so check that out. They're great. Adam Catchell will now be our free boxing correspondent. Yeah, that's very kind of you, Adam.
That's great of him to offer, too. That's incredible.
Wow. For free as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm on a group chat with those guys. And obviously Usyk and Fury were supposed to fight December 23rd. Mm-hmm. According to Adam Catchell, they'll still do the fight, but they won't sue them or anything like that. There'll be so much money involved. I don't know. That remains to be seen. I guess that's down to Usyk. But they still want to put on a massive fight on December 23rd, because it's obviously, I don't know if it's the same significance for the Muslim people, Christmas, but whatever. December 23rd, they want to put on a big fucking fight, right? They want to fucking have a big one. They want to see out the year with a big spectacle. So the rumors are right now that Francis Ngannou is going to come back and he's going to fight. And if you think about it, I mean, he's the man of the moment right now. He's the bell of the ball. He's just surprised everyone. It really is like a Cinderella story, what he achieved. He went out there for Tyson Fury. Didn't really get injured. Yeah, he got punched a few times. But to be honest, me and you have both taken more damage in sparring sessions.
For sure.
You know, so what's that, 8 weeks away? Something like that.
Any potential opponent?
No opponent. But he's been offered all kinds of fights. Eddie Hearn has been talking about Anthony Joshua. Not for December 23rd, but that would be my front runner. And if anyone can afford it, it would be the Saudis. I have an opinion on that, but I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, I think the Joshua fight would be fun, but I just, in no disrespect to Anthony Joshua, but he's so hard to make a fight with anybody. I find it hard to believe they're going to get one done and in enough time to do an 8-week training camp. The negotiations with Joshua are so hard, seemingly. I feel like Wilder would jump right in, though, and I really want to see that fight.
See, that would be incredible, but you're kind of on the same vibe as I am. I did a YouTube video on it this morning, and I said on there, not only is he notoriously hard to deal with in terms of make the correct contract, and fair enough, it's business, it's complicated, and we're talking a lot of money, so not necessarily an insult, but it's just, you know, track record.
That's how it is.
But there's also this to consider, because if you're Anthony Joshua, and off the top of my head, I forget, he won his last one, but he had a couple of hellenious, I think it was. He got beat by Andy Ruiz. He got beat by Usyk twice in a row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Considering that he's lost three in his last whatever, granted over a couple of years or whatever it was. But it's still a risk to come, because look at what Tyson Fury just did. And I'm sorry to say this if you're a Fury fan, but the honest statement is that his stock dropped. Tyson Fury's stock has dropped. So if you're Anthony Joshua, I would say, if I was managing him as well, say, hold on a minute, no man alive should be going out there fighting this guy just yet, because there's not enough tape on him. There's not enough tape. We don't know. Was it a fluke? Did Tyson Fury have a bad night? Right. I'll go back into it because you're laughing. I was going to stop, but fuck it.
It's funny.
Hey. But sometimes I don't even have to do it. I just fucking sound like this. No, but there's not much tape on him. It was his first ever boxing match. He shocked the world. Mm-hmm. You know, for someone like Joshua, can't afford to risk a loss to Anthony Joshua. You want to see more footage. You want to see more tape. You want to see the rhythm. You want to see the shot selection, the timing, and all the rest of it. Right now, there's one fight, and he almost beat Tyson Fury. So I don't know. I don't know if they would necessarily take that just yet.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis of just the way he runs his career. I feel like, and I know that I keep beating this horse, but I feel like Deontay Wilder is the kind of guy that just says, fuck it, I'll do it. Look, let's go. Let's get this contract in front of me. I'll sign it. Let's fight. He just seems like he's just more of a gamer. You know, like Anthony Joshua seems very much like a competitor. Like he's the ultimate competitor.
Yep.
Very, very smart about his business. Very, I don't know, methodical on every move. Deontay Wilder seems like he's just a fighter. Like I'm sure he has a great team behind him that's running his business correctly. And, you know, I'm sure that they have their things too. But personally, he seems like the type of guy that's just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah, I need some water. I totally agree. He's like, I mean, obviously he's a fighter, but he's very structured, he's very methodical, calculated. He's a businessman to a certain degree.
Because
the sad reality is when you get to that level, you know, when you're an Anthony Joshua or a Fury or any of these top boxers or a Conor McGregor or whatever, it does become a business. And there's a lot of people's business riding upon it, all the managers, all the agents, all the sponsors, you know what I mean? It's like there's big, big money. It's like you can't just roll a dice and say, fuck it, let's jump in. That's what people love to see from fighters. But when you get to that level, it becomes harder and harder to do that. But I do agree. I think Deontay Wilder would say, you know what? Put me in, coach. Grab your mouthpiece. Let's fucking get on a plane to Saudi and let's go knock this motherfucker out.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's looking to fight. He's posting a lot of stuff on social media. He wants to fight. So I think if there's ever an opportunity, I hope that's the fight we see.
All right, guys, I want to talk about the newest sponsor, the X Bar. X Bar basically is your new home gym that you can take with you on the road. You can target every muscle in your body with this amazing one piece of equipment. So, yeah, if you've got a busy lifestyle, even if you're on the road or even if you're just at home, it's pretty inexpensive, and the amount of exercises that you can do on this thing is unbelievable. The X Bar is an easy-to-use curl-style bar that uses resistance bands instead of weights, and it comes with an incredible range of weights from 5 pounds to 480 pounds of body building, muscle strengthening resistance. It is basically a full gym in the palm of your hands. It's great for travel, it's safe for your joints, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. And you want to know how good this thing is? Well, it has over 1,000 five-star reviews. There's tons of instructionals. There's so many different exercises that you can do. And again, from 5 pounds to 480. This is like an entire rack of weights in the palm of your hand. So give it a try. Check it out. xbar.com/pages/believe. Use the discount called Believe. You will get 15% off and free shipping. Listen, this thing's fantastic. Give it a try. Check it out. Very convenient, safe for your joints, and a lifetime warranty. xbar.com/pages/believe. The code is Believe for 15% off and free shipping. I'm just looking at non-MMA stories there that Harrington put in, and I just saw the horse video. Do you know what the horse video is?
Yeah, you sent it.
We're not playing it. No man alive should see that video. Because I put that tweet out last night. I'm sick of seeing these videos, you know, getting on my high horse, but it's true, I am. And then people were like, you must have seen the horse video. And I'm like, I'm a high horse. No pun intended. And I was like, what horse video? And then people were having a field day on Twitter, and then somebody tagged me in it. Mm-hmm. And it's a guy. I will describe it.
Oh, God.
And he goes, but he's like, he's caressing the mouth of the horse. I could tell that something was going to go off. I knew it was going to be distasteful. And I thought, no, he's not going to stick his pee-pee in a horse's mouth, is he? Surely the horse will bite that bloody thing off.
Right.
But then he just turns around and drops his pants, and the horse, whoa, giddy up, cowboy, straight on him.
Just let him have it. God.
Oh, my God.
God, it was awful.
Oh, I mean, listen, bestiality, that's what it is. But Harrington put it in the notes. We're not here to discuss bestiality, Harrington. My God.
I mean, it's the number one trending thing I saw on Twitter today. Just, quote unquote, the horse video. So I think,
Harrington, how many times have you watched it?
I'm so upset I watched that. I'm so upset.
Don't lie, Brian. Someone's calling me. But regardless, let's have a look. Non-MMA. Let's have a look. How much was this? The first? I don't even know what this is. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. How much is going to do a better man, better job? Just give us that number one. The world's first anti-drunk drink is out. What is that?
Yeah. So it's this new drink. It claims if you drink it in the when you're done having drinks for the night and you're ready to go home, sober up, whatever, it'll sober you up. It says within an hour, it'll take the alcohol toxicity out of your blood and it'll make it so you wake up without a hangover. So
I don't want it. What's the point? I don't want to sober up.
Well, sometimes you need to.
No, what a waste of absolute fucking time to go out there, drown your sorrows, fight down the demons with some booze just to drink a drink that's going to eliminate it all, and you got to do it all again.
I don't know. See, I like having a drink, you know what I mean? And then sometimes you're like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? You got to undo, you got to press the escape button, but there ain't no pressing escape. You know what I mean? And number one, these drinks.
Oh, I'm trying to be in that hole.
These drinks are bullshit. They don't work. Oh, yeah. These anti-hangover drinks, just all you got to do is drink this and you'll be fine the next morning.
You ever taken one?
I fucking tried them all, bro.
None of them work.
No, every time when I get to Vegas, they sell them there and I'm like, oh, go on then. It's going to be a heavy one tonight. And I'm talking about when I first started going to Vegas when I was in the UFC and my buddies had come over. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll have one of those. Yeah, still dying. Now, I guess, to be honest, there is limits to the powers that they have. Yeah. I might have pushed the boundaries back in the day.
They're not like Michael Bisping tested. They're like, no, for a regular motherfucker, this might get rid of a headache. But
exactly. Yeah. We're going to need 10 of these. We're going to need to drip feed it. I've done this a few times. You got to get out of bed in the morning. I remember I got a movie. I was flown to England to do a film. And I met with some buddies, Joe Long. Shout out Joe Long from Fighters Inc. and my partner in UFC Gym UK. We will be popping up all over the country, so stay tuned for those. We went out. We went to some restaurant opening because he's got a few la-di-da friends. Then we ended up in a nightclub. And he ordered 100 shots of tequila once. I don't know why, because he was drunk. He ordered 100 shots. So you can imagine how that night went.
Yeah.
I wake up the next day. I get out of bed. I walk. And to say I was still pissed and drunk is an understatement.
Fuck that.
I'm like, it's the first day on set in about 2 hours.
Oh, no.
I'm like, this is not going to look good.
How do you remember your parts? How do you remember your lines?
Well, fortunately, that day, all I had to do was stand there and look gorgeous, which I failed miserably at. Just do Polish accent, talk like this, grab someone by throat. Hey, fucker, give me money. So I'm like, I got to go for a run. So I'm running through the streets of London, you know, and I'm fucking tripping over. I'm pissed out of my fucking head. But the run, never mind the anti-drunk drink. All you got to do is get out of bed, go for a run, get in the sauna, sweat it out of you. Pop a lot of paracetamol, drink tons of these, get some electrolytes in you, spoken like a pro.
Does that run, a run in a good sauna session really helps?
Big time.
Really?
Big time. The run clears your head, sweats it out of you. The sauna sweats it out of you. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. But it's there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'll just hang over. I was going to sleep.
Did you see that Merab Dvalishvili and Henry Cejudo is more than likely coming to fruition? There hasn't been an official announcement, but it's being rumored heavily online.
I did. I wonder what that means for O'Malley. Because Merab is kind of the next guy in line, right? If it's not Aljo. So I don't know. That's what I was wondering. I wonder if that means that Cheeto was the next one, because Sean has been pretty clear that he's not fighting Aljo. So I wonder if that means Cheeto's getting that fight, and then I wonder if they're gonna put that on the same card as a backup.
Yeah, no, because I don't know. But it's got to be Cheeto versus Sean O'Malley. That's the only loss that Sean O'Malley's ever had. So it's the perfect storyline. Cheeto's got a big following. It'll be a fun fight. So I imagine that one's going to go down. But Merab versus Henry Cejudo. Remember, Cejudo retired, loses to Aljamain Sterling. That was a shocker, to be honest. I mean, that Aljamain Sterling was so bloody good in that fight. And he doesn't get enough respect. He really doesn't. But now Cejudo's coming back, taking on Merab, shows he wants to be a champion. And I respect that from Cejudo, because Merab for Cejudo could be like the worst possible matchup.
Yeah, it's a really tough matchup, especially with just the way that Merab grinds and constantly pushes. He doesn't give a lot of space. Cejudo tends to do really well when he's got moved or room to move around and I don't know, just be active. Man, Merab's a tough matchup for anybody. He's got the hardest style in the UFC to fight. Even for a guy like Jose Aldo, like with such good takedown defense, Merab still wins the fight without getting any takedowns. That's crazy.
You know, this morning I had breakfast with Dominic Cruz, and that came up in conversation. So I was asking him, and I said, when are you coming back, Dom? You know, he's still going to fight. How old do you think Dom is?
If I had to guess, 38.
Boom. 38 years old. And at bantamweight, you know what I mean? That's kind of getting up there. So I was like, so what? Will this, you know, when you fight, will that be the last one? He's like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. If I win and I do well, then maybe one more. And I said, well, what about Cejudo? He was saying he wanted to fight Cheeto. He said, I'd like to fight Cheeto Vera. That's what I want to get back. I said, why is that? He said, well, because I lost. I want to get that one back. I said, well, what about Cejudo then? I said, because, you know, more than likely, I mean, we don't know for sure that Cheeto is going to fight O'Malley, but all the reasoning is there, you know. I said, what about Cejudo? Because that'd be another big fight I think people would love to see. And he's like, nah, Cejudo won't fight me. No way. He said, the way he kind of got that bullshit victory over me the first time, he said, he won't risk that.
You think so? Do you believe that?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to see it again. 38 years old. How old Cejudo? He's going to be getting up there, 36-ish.
I was going to say, he's probably 36, 37, maybe. He's not far off, probably.
Fair play to Domino, 38 years old, doing what he's doing, still trying to find those kind of guys. Yeah, so Cejudo is 36. So yeah, it's a bit slim pickings on the old MMA news this week. Next week, we're going to be in Madison Square Garden doing a live podcast at the Meta Studios on Thursday.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't know if we can do this, but can we just like invite loads of people and they come and watch it live?
I mean, I don't know why not.
I mean, we could just do it. I don't know.
What are they going to do? Tell us no?
Maybe not let people in, and that would be very annoying for them.
Well, then we'll go drink with everyone afterwards.
See? I think Cloud's got a silver lining. Harrington, is there a big story in MMA? Because I just tried to Google it. I tried to go MMA for some, like, you know, the latest stories. Because I'm in Brazil.
I was looking today, and there's
It's all in Brazilian.
Oh, in Brazilian.
Portuguese. Portuguese. Sorry about that.
I was looking.
Portuguese.
I was looking through today too, and there just wasn't. It's just a little bit light. It's a light week. I'm sure we'll have some good stories coming out of this weekend, and then we got a lot to talk about going into MSG. But there wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, the only things that that I'm seeing here, Leon Edwards' management. His gym. Like responded to Ian Garry's claims. And they essentially just said, look, we did tell Ian Garry to leave. It had nothing to do with Leon Edwards. It's simply a matter of like, we cultivate who we have in this gym. We're very rigid about those people. And we didn't feel like Ian Garry was, contributing to the overall, like, you know, health and well-being. Like he wasn't making the gym a better place. So that's why the coach made the decision. Ian Garry's got to get out of here.
Yeah, so, and again, I know nothing of the situation. I wasn't there. I'm not there. But you kind of alluded to a little something. Listen, a coach is going to say, I had nothing to do with Leon. Of course he is. You know, that's why you have a manager. That's why you have a fall guy. That's why you have someone else that says that. Maybe the two just weren't getting on. You know what I mean? right? They're both, never mind the fact that they're both very good fighters. Leon's the champion of the world. He's a very hot and up and coming prospect. Not everyone gets along with everyone. And
not everyone fits every culture.
Correct.
Like, every gym has a different culture. There's a lot of guys. There's some really high level guys, like really popular, that do really well. That even Mark Montoya has very nicely asked to leave the gym. Not some, hey, you get the fuck out of here. Just like, hey, this is, everyone does kind of a trial period. You need a little more time. They'll try it out a couple more weeks. And sometimes people just don't fit. Like it's like relationships. You spend more time with these people than you do with your family when you're in training camp. Like it's got to be a good fit. It's got to be a good vibe. Everyone's got to be happy. And sometimes you got to fit into someone's culture. And there's a lot of guys that have contacted Mark, like superstars to train them. And Mark has had to say no, because he was like, I know that guy won't fit our mold.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that fighter A, B, whatever is an asshole.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's even a bad dude.
It's not working out, not fitting, we're not vibing, we're not gelling. Mm-hmm. Subtext is fucking, they hate Ian Garry.
Do I?
Maybe they do. Subtext is they hate Ian Garry,
yeah.
But they probably don't. Yeah. Not everyone gets along in life. And that's all right. I think for the most part, if you're a decent person, you can tolerate one another. But sometimes some people don't get along. And certainly when you throw in the fact that they're both competing in a very violent sport, they're in the same weight class. You know what I mean? And
the gym's not the place. Training camp and in that kind of place, like in your fight gym, is not the place you want to be tolerating people. You gotta be able to, like, that's got to be like a family member to you. You can't just tolerate people. I'm not tolerating anybody in the gym. Either I'll go or you go. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I just tried to Google on my phone MMA because I thought my phone, you know. Same this thing. Won't give me Portuguese bullshit. I've got to prove that I'm not a fucking robot. You know what I mean? I'm like, the fuck is this? I just want to see the news in the MMA world. I'm so sick of that shit. No, I'm not a robot. And what? How does pushing random things select the motorcycles in the picture? How does that prove I'm not a robot? What are you saying? Know. Somebody can't write
like
a program
AI could figure that out.
Robots?
AI could figure that out. Oh, fuck.
They can.
Random.
Are you tired today?
Yeah.
Go on, Harrington. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?
What are you doing?
I just had a suggestion. Literally, I was Googling UFC news, and a couple stories popped up. One is Jamal Hill lists his top five boxers in the UFC. I was going to see if you guys agree with this list or if you had one of your own. And then the other one is the UFC just announced also another return to another city, UFC Shanghai. They did not list a main event for that, but, you know, Shanghai.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Never mind Shanghai. We'll do the top five boxes, though. Ooh, they're going to Shanghai. Whoop they do. Get your chopsticks. Let's go. Boom. Who cares? Do you know, I mean, it's great. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. But what we're going to do, I mean, we're
going to fight. Did I have a date, Harrington?
December 9th.
Yeah, December 9th, the week after.
Yeah, you know, all that because I'm aware.
Are you going to, you know that for some reason?
Well, no.
Oh, no.
I will be on a plane. I'll be on my plane headed over to England for Tales from the Octagon 2, myticket.co.uk to see myself, Paul Craig, and interim heavyweight champion of the world. But the top five boxers, that's a good little chart. Top five boxers in the UFC. Oof.
Max Holloway's on that list for sure.
Max Holloway's got to be on the list, right?
Yeah, Max for sure.
Question though. If Max Holloway's on the list, does that mean Volkanovski's on the list?
No, not necessarily.
But he predominantly just used his hands when he fought him. I mean, yeah, there was a few kicks along the way. There wasn't much wrestling, right? If I'm not mistaken.
There was a little bit in the first fight, for sure. There was more wrestling, but...
O'Malley?
He's a big kicker. His entire striking game is set up by his kicking game. Like, I don't know. Holloway doesn't kick almost at all.
Mm.
I'm looking at his
Max
list.
Max Holloway.
You got to put, I mean, you got to put Strickland on there.
Nah, I don't. He's effective. All right, all right. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but you know,
we're talking effectiveness for sure.
Who's on the list? Read it out to me.
On my list?
No, Jamal's.
Jamal's is number one. Him.
Go, baby. Of course,
Dustin Poirier, Holloway, Strickland, and this one's kind of interesting. Pavlovich.
Oh, Sergey Pavlovich. Listen, this guy, very good. Very good. Heavy hands, yes. Knockout power. Don't know if necessarily technique safe, but this guy hit, boom, like a car. Fast forward, 90 miles an hour. I don't know. I tell you what, if he is one of the best boxers in the UFC, Tom's job next week just got a hell of a lot harder.
Right. I'll just go by weight class, I guess, guys that like stand out. Like heavyweight, Stipe's boxing technique stands out to me. He's a very good boxer. Light heavyweight, boxer. I don't know.
Googly. I think Dustin Poirier is a good shot. Poirier. I mean, listen, in his prime, Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. Right?
Can't deny that.
A prime Conor McGregor. Got to go with that one for sure.
Yeah.
Best boxers in MMA. We got someone else's list here, but we'll go through it. We'll have a do and see if we agree.
I think Brandon Moreno should be on that list.
Yeah, Moreno he's
turned out to be a pretty good boxer, especially his last five fights. He's looked really good. His hands look great.
You got Jorge Masvidal here. What do you think of that? Nick Diaz, this is an old list. Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah. We talked about Bobby Green. I think Bobby Green's probably on that list too.
Oh, Bobby Green's got some slick hands, man.
He does. He's really good defensively too.
Early prediction on that one, real quick. Who do you think wins? Bobby Green, Dan Hooker?
Man, I don't know if it's recency bias, but I am feeling Bobby Green a little bit. He's finding his stride a little bit. And whatever he's doing is working.
It's great to see as well, his age and the life that he's had, because he does deserve a lot of credit. And, all right, today's episode is sponsored by Kudo Popcorn, the official protein popcorn of the UFC. Here's the good news. While you're having that popcorn, you're also taking on 10 grams of whey protein isolate. So it's keto friendly, by the way. The popcorn is gluten-free, preservative-free, 100% whole grain, keto-friendly, and only 70 calories per cup, and it's made right here in the USA. Now, the good news is, when you hear keto-friendly, gluten-free, whole grain, all this type of stuff, you think it's going to taste awful. Well, no, it doesn't. I'm telling you right now, this stuff is delicious, and I stand by that. If you give it a try, you will be shocked. It comes in garlic parmesan. That's my favorite. The white cheddar, the salty, sweet kettle corn. They all taste incredible, and they make healthy snacking something that you can actually enjoy. So you will be amazed when you try Kudo popcorn, and of course, keto-friendly, tastes delicious. They sponsor the UFC, and we have a great offer. Go to kudosnacks.com and the code is BELIEVE. Using that code BELIEVE will give you 20% off when you go to kudosnacks, K-U-D-O, kudosnacks.com. Save some money and support the official protein popcorn of the UFC. Harrington put this in the notes. You do know that Darren Till's a friend of the show, Harrington?
I am aware, which is why it affected me, and I felt like I should put it on the note. We can skip over it if you don't want.
No. Go on. What did you put in the notes, Harrington?
So I actually, and I did agree with this wholeheartedly, but he posted a video of iShowSpeed. He's like a YouTuber, and he was at the awards for like the soccer awards, football awards, whatever you want to call them, and Messi got a big award, and he jumped up and down and acted a fool and filmed his reaction, put it on YouTube. Darren Till, right? Like he took a screenshot of that and said, it's absolutely insane to me that these guys can just act like fools, right? And they have millions and millions of dollars. Meanwhile, I'm a world-class athlete and I'm sitting in my back room thinking about what clothes to sell. And then he followed up with a picture of like his clothes and certain shoes in boxes and said, I'm not kidding about that. That just affected me for whatever reason. And I'm hoping Darren gets a fight soon.
Yeah. No, I was just busting your balls on the way you put. He tweeted and deleted. you know. Harrington didn't mention that part, did it? It really affected me, guys. And so I called them out for tweeting and deleting. Listen, I am a good friend of Darren Till. We've had him on the show many times, and he's a good guy. I want to see him get a big boxing payday. You never know with Darren if he's completely being serious.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Because he is funny, and he's always messing around. He's very rarely serious.
Mm-hmm.
But then he can be exceedingly serious. You know, he goes from, you don't know where he starts, all of a sudden both giving you like really hard facts. Like when he came on.
Fuck, you're a little too transparent there, bro. That's shit we should just talk about in private.
Yeah. That's fight sports though, man. You know, the reality is, you know, I mean, I was going to say 1%, but it's not even 1% in fight sports. It's just the ultra, ultra tip of the iceberg that makes that crazy kind of money. You know what I mean? And in fact, I would say I was going to say all sports. If you look at football, soccer, English football, you know, the biggest sport in the world. If you consider how many people play it all over the world in pub leagues, in just teams with the friends and things like that, and then compare that to the amount of people that are making big money, it's probably about 1%, you know, in all sports, you know what I mean? To get to the absolute tip of the iceberg, to where you're making crazy amounts of money, where of a few fights or whatever sport it is, you can kick back and just chill. I mean, it's
not that many people.
Really tough, man.
It is. It's really hard. And I think that's a good point. Just the amount of people that try to play all these other sports. Mm. Like, it's only the elite, the best of the best. It's a small percentage. And the rest of those people that try fail, unfortunately. And that's tough to watch.
And I've said this many times, but that for me, that always terrified me. We were talking about shitty jobs at the start of the show. I was always terrified about going back to that kind of lifestyle, back to being broke again, even though I said it was less stressful. You know what I mean? As you're getting older, you start thinking about retirement, you know, and having some money to, you know, to kick back as you're getting into your 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on. You know, you don't want to be out busting your back then. But
do you still worry about that now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. I mean, because I work my ass off, and like I've said many times, sometimes there's nothing to do and I start freaking out. Mm-hmm. Not because, you know, listen, life's been good. You know, I had a good career fighting. I have a good post-fight career, and so I'm happy and I've got some savings and stuff like that. But to, you know, let's say you retire at 60, living the rest of your life, and by the way, 60 is early for some people. Let's say you retire at 60. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be able to enjoy those final years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Years with no income.
Yeah. Just kicking back, spending dough. Do you know what I mean?
Earning. I only ask because I think a lot of people, sometimes we get off on our own soapbox. They're like, oh, look at these guys. Like, they don't have anything to worry about. But I guess I still really worry about it a lot. Like, even though I got a lot of good things going on in my life, it terrifies me. Then I'm going to have to work, like, you know, grind and I always want to, stay ahead. I don't want to ever get behind chasing again. You know, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of where you're located for one. Like, I could go live back in Clitheroe like a rock star for the rest of my life, man.
Right.
I could go live in Clitheroe like a rock star for the rest of my life. And don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful place with great people. Mm-hmm. But and it's not like I've moved on from that, because I still go back there and stuff like that, and it holds a dear place to my heart. But we've got a good lifestyle in California. The kids are here, you know what I mean? And I don't want to live in California for the rest of my life. And in fact, we're going to start looking around and other places in the country that I could maybe think about retiring to that are a bit bloody cheaper. Mm-hmm. But to retire right now in America as well, you know, you're going to pay those medical fees. You can call it socialism all day long. My mum and dad go to the hospital with their ailments and get operated on, fine and dandy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Neither of them have worked in a long time, and they weren't exactly setting the world on fire.
That's, you can always check out Nebraska.
Let's go, baby.
Check out Arkansas, Nebraska.
I'm moving in.
I actually like Arkansas. I would move. You move to Nebraska, I'll move to Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. That would happen given the history of this podcast. Just going back to Darren Till, yeah. No, fighting's hard, and I think he was probably joking there, even though he did say, by the way, I'm serious, but he was probably having a laugh. But Darren's very humble. But Darren is an incredible boxer, and I know that people, you know, I always said I believed he would be the champion. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Darren has that kind of ability. He had a razor-close fight with Robert Whittaker, and now it's looking like he's going to fight on a Misfits event against a YouTuber. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and perfect. I think
he will smash all of them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, the more that they can make Darren Till just the big name that they think is washed up, go ahead and do that and book him for some big paychecks against some bums.
There you go, Jake Paul.
And it would be good for, Jake Paul. Why don't you talk? Yeah, call out Darren Till. See how that works out for
December
you.
December 15th, he's looking for an opponent. Darren Till, he'll have you, buddy.
For sure.
Will not call that guy.
See how that works out for him.
He will not call that guy. That's just a damn fact.
Not a chance. But yeah.
All right. Well, look, listen, we're short of show today, so we apologize, guys and girls. Who's jumping on? Herringbone? How can I help you, sir?
No, I was I hate to stop you right. You were in the middle of wrapping up, so I didn't want to do anything. But I wanted to ask Anthony. You called me the other day. You said you were on episode 2 of Breaking Bad after we talked it up during last Thursday's show. Have you made it to season 2 yet?
No, I'm on episode 5, though. So I'm chipping
away. You're going way too slow.
I got a lot going on, Herringbone. It's fucking insane.
Bro, you have no idea. No. Anthony.
Yeah.
Brian, jump on. Harrington, jump on.
It's insane.
It gets wild. I don't want to say anything. I'm jealous that you don't know. It's so good.
Don't ruin it. Well, okay, what happened?
If you have questions about what's happening right now in the show, you have to wait till later.
Lucas is an expert on Breaking Bad. He knows all about the transitions. He watches all these YouTube videos.
He just killed
the guy in the basement.
The guy Crazy in the basement. Eight. Yeah, he just killed Crazy the guy in the eight. Basement. They got rid of him. He just told his wife about the cancer, and she's flipping the fuck out. And then, but the connection between him and his brother-in-law that they don't know that they have, and then he doesn't know that the kid is a snitch. It's fucking getting crazy.
Hey, wait until next season. I'm just gonna say. ATM machine, keep an eye out for that scene. Okay.
Right. Dude, when the body melted through the fucking tub, I was like, what the fuck? It was crazy. Yeah. I love
it's
it.
Brilliant. It's
yeah,
brilliant.
I'm loving
it's
it. Brilliant. I'm loving it.
All right, guys. Well, listen, short of show today, I'm in Sao Paulo. So my apologies. If you have a question, please send it into bympod@gmail.com. Funnier, more interesting, more original, the better.
And if you're listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating. Positive review really helps us out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video comes out. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the...
First question we got here today is from Mr. Ben Fitzsimmons.
All right, there, guys. So my little boy, Ben, he plays in a basketball club and they always make him pass the ball back to some kid who shoots and always misses. So I said to him, if you don't shoot, you're never going to score. And he all of a sudden, next thing, he gets 3 goals. So my question to you is, what is the best advice you've ever given to one of your kids, whether it's competition or life, and you've seen a really good moment come from it? Also, do us a favor, give little Ben a shout out and he'll think his dad's a legend. Cheers. Thank you.
Aww, little Ben.
Yeah.
Well done for scoring some goals, Ben. Hope you well. You got a good dad there. And listen, whatever you want to do in life, Ben, you can do it. Hard work, determination, discipline. Subscribe and ring the bell to the Believe in Me podcast, and you will go far. I love that.
Tell little Ben to ring the bell and subscribe?
Ben,
you definitely need to subscribe and shout out. You want to answer it first, or you want me to?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm trying to think of some inspirational words.
I'm actually having a lot of these conversations with my kids right now because they're all the three older kids are active and in sports competing right now. I've always told my oldest that, I've told them all, I don't really care about wins and losses. It's not about wins and losses at this point of their lives. Nobody gives a fuck about sixth grade basketball. It's about being competitive and being the best when you get to high school and on to college. But so we just focus on getting better every practice, every game. And fortunately, my oldest has an incredible basketball coach. Shout out Scott, who has a very similar mindset. He's put them in the hardest league they could possibly compete in. So they're struggling a little bit here and there, but it's about getting better and playing the better teams so that you grow. I think the main thing that I really push to my kids is about effort. It's about how hard they try. It's about having a good attitude. You got to have a short memory when things don't go your way. You got to put it in the past and move on to the next play. But I really harp on their effort and their attitude. I don't care if Adley wins any of the wrestling matches that she has, because she does do well, but I don't care if she doesn't. Like, she's wrestling boys a lot of the time. She's going to struggle there a lot. I just need her to have a good attitude. And if she's down by 100 points, I want her to be down by 99. If she's up by 100, I want her to be up by 101. Mm-hmm. That it's all about their effort and their attitude.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great message. And it's kind of what I always said to my kids as well. Like, when I was fighting, I always called Callum, because he would be so nervous, you know, when he was younger and he wasn't at the fights. I call him every time from the locker room, right before I was about to walk out to the fight. And I say, "Hey, son, you're at home, you're watching, you're enjoying the fights." He's like, "Yeah, Dad, I'm nervous for you." I'm like, "Well, listen, you know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do my best. Can't guarantee you on this phone call right now that I'm going to win. I said, "I can't say that. I can't do that. But I'm going to do my best." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's all you can do. I said, "I've trained. You've seen me getting out of bed at the crack of dawn and going for runs. You see me coming in with bruises and tired and sore." I said, "I've done the work. I've done everything I can." I said, "Kind of now it's out of my control." I said, "But I've kind of crafted the destiny as much as I can by doing the work." I said, "And as long as you do that, as long as you go out there and you try your best," I said, "then you can be proud of yourself." I said, "So I don't know if I'm going to win this fight." I said, "But know this, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get my best shot." I said, "And if I give it my best shot, I'll be proud of it." I said, "So if I do lose, which I'm not going to do, son, but if I do, then don't feel bad for me. You know what I mean? I'm in a great position." Mm-hmm. And I guess it kind of, I mean, I echo those same sentiments, to be honest. You know, that's kind of what I've always said to my kids, you know. And just recently, you know, like Callum, he went to college. He's got a degree in marketing. He's tried to go for some jobs, and he's applied for some paid internships, you know, mm-hmm. to try and get a bit of experience. He went for the jobs, and they wanted him to be a door-to-door salesman for some bloody Ponzi scheme, and he was all down on himself. And he was embarrassed. I'm like, "Son, why are you embarrassed? You've got nothing to be embarrassed about. They lied to you to get you to go for the interview." Right. They're the ones that should be embarrassed. And it kind of goes back to what we were saying before. I said, "Listen," because he's like, he's broke. And then I help him out. Of course I do. But also at the same time, you got to let them struggle, you know, and you got to realize. You got to
be broke a little bit.
You got to be broke, because that's part of the journey. It's part of the fun. And then one day you'll look back on those times fondly and smile about them and remember those times and remember the car that was breaking down. Right. You know what I mean? Remember fucking not being able to pay the bills. Remembering when fucking used to wear those same shitty shoes all the time that were falling apart. And you will look back. And that's the beauty of life. Hopefully, if you can get there, and hopefully if you're ambitious enough to make these changes, that you look back and you remember those struggles and you go, "Wow, look at this. Look at what we achieved. Look what we did. We did it, babe."
Yeah.
You
know? Look where we came from. I love doing that. Look at the road. Yeah. Look where we were and look where we are now.
Exactly. Yeah. We got one more, Bri?
If we're only going to do one more, give me 1 second. We got this one here.
Hey, guys. Noel from Florida again. Land of the meth heads and the alligators, baby. Let's go. Just got done doing some jiu-jitsu. It's a pretty gay shit. Ain't going to lie. Kind of like it. But anyways, my question is if you guys were to coach Harrington and Brian into an MMA fight, say they fight each other, how long would you guys train them for before they were to fight? And how much time would you allot to each discipline? Thanks.
Well,
I wouldn't train them at all. I just let them fight right now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd be it. And Harrington straight away in the comments there in the chat. I'm boxing on Saturday. Love to get it in. You're not boxing. You're not boxing. You are, bless you. Harrington, jump off. Come on, tell us about the fight. No wonder you're looking so svelte. No wonder you're looking so shaved. No look. Yeah. No wonder you're looking, you know, cheery. What's going on?
What are you doing?
Noted right-wing troll Alex Stein.
Noted to who? Because I don't know who that is.
Oh, a bunch of people.
He's a goofball on the internet.
Yeah, he's got a decent sized following, and he's pissed off a lot of famous people.
All right.
Yeah.
You remember the dude who ran up to AOC and was like, "Who's my favorite big booty Latina?"
No.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did that like on the courthouse or like on courthouse steps or the Capitol steps, something.
Shout out to him.
A silly goose.
AOC is so bloody annoying, let's be honest.
She is a big booty Latina, though.
Is she got a big booty?
I don't know.
I've only seen a face zoomed in whining.
Right, on
whining
Twitter.
Whining about bloody. Oh, man, no, man, born from a woman, could be a woman. Yeah, how would I train Harrington? I just let you two fight to the death.
Yeah, I just let him fight to the death.
Fight to the death, throw him in a cage, lock the door, go for a beer, come back and check on him.
Like the Joker when he cracks that broomstick or whatever it is and then throws it in the room, tells him to hurry up. That's exactly what I would do.
Do we have one more, Brian? A real question.
Are you gonna miss your dinner?
Well, listen, the believers, they come first in my world.
All right.
I've got to do ads and everything, yeah? Oh, I've got to get my shoes on. I've got to give them a wipe. I've got to adjust this hair. I've got to figure out a jacket because it's bloody cold and raining. Sao Paulo. That's not what I thought.
It's raining in Sao Paulo?
It's raining and it's chilly. It's like 62.
That's bullshit.
It's not cold, but
I didn't bring
a number of jackets and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You weren't packing prepared. All the shit for the pool. Do you know what I mean? And the pool is like someone spatting a bloody crack in the thing. It's about this big. We got a question, Brian?
We sure do. And this last one, this guy didn't leave his name, but here he is.
What up, UIM crew? Thanks for answering my last question. Appreciate it. If you're listening to this, send in a question. Don't be scared. It took me 50 fucking tries to get this one. We got it. So my question, my wife's weird obsession, houseplants. They're everywhere. 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 So what is your guys' wife's weird obsession that you just don't get?
Peace.
Yeah, my wife loves, she's on the big plant vibe. There's plants all over the house. I think my wife just likes to do things. So she has things to do. Do you know what I mean? Like she's going to get a lot of plants, but then that means 2-3 times a week, she takes them all outside. She uses the hose. She's got the budgies. Now she's doing that. I called her today. I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "Oh, I'm so bored. I'm even taking Harry for a walk." You know what I mean? I said, "Well, you got to walk the dog, babe." Obsessions. Does yours wife? Well, let me think. Does your wife have any?
Yeah, she's a big scentsy person. Like big into, they're like those candles. They're like you get the warmers and, you know, they heat up the wax or whatever. So like every fucking room has one. She put one in my office.
Yeah.
So she's always changing the smells and the scents and she's into that shit.
Yeah.
And
diffusers. Rebecca likes a good candle and a diffuser. Yeah. The diffusers are everywhere, pissing me off.
Yeah, they're fucking everywhere. So my house constantly smells really strong. Well, it usually smells good, but it's always sometimes I just want to walk in and not be punched in the face with some floral fucking smell.
You're like walking into a potpourri shop. You know what potpourri is?
Potpourri? Oh, yeah.
Scenting a bit of potpourri.
It's like Scentsy is the 2023 version of potpourri.
Potpourri. What was it like? Dried flowers with the scent or something?
Yeah, it was always on the back of everybody's toilet.
Yeah. Potpourri. She loves antiques. She's always buying antiques, which I don't mind antiques, but she will buy something just because it's an antique. And some of them are shit. Some of them look like shit. They're falling apart. They're in terrible condition. There's a reason nobody's buying it. Like, yes, but it's from 18-something.
But it's really old.
But that's what she does. She has some books and stuff like that, but she'll say to the guy in the antique shop, is it old? And all he's got to do is say, yeah, 1700 is that, love. Yeah. How much do you want for it? You know,
I'll give you it all.
So at one point, our house was filled with like really like shitty, scruffy stuff. I'm like, babe, a lot of this. She's like, no, but I like that. I want character. I don't just want any shit you can buy from Living Spaces or any mass produced whatever. I'm like, yeah, but that stuff looks good. It's clean. It works.
Yeah, you know, it's not falling apart.
There's a typewriter that doesn't type. You know what I mean? Like, get rid of the fucking typewriter. Who uses a typewriter?
We have a fucking piano, and nobody here plays the piano.
We've got an electric drum set at the top of the stairs that Lucas was going to play the drums. He used it once on Christmas Day. It's been there for almost a year, covered in dust. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody here plays the piano. We got a nice, old, really nice piano. And
do you bang a bit of chopsticks out now and again, though?
No. No.
You must not. What's that? There's that tune on the piano. Everybody knows.
Not me. I've never played one key on that piano. Not even a.
If I come on, don't lie.
Not once.
There's something about a piano. If
my kids do though, I'm surprised they're not doing it right now because every time they all get home from school, they get on there. Dun 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 dun. Like motherfuckers, I'm busy.
Ever in a store or a hotel, and it says don't touch the piano. I gotta go. Doing. I gotta press that button, that heavy low key.
Push that fucking button.
Guys, that's the show. My dinner plans. They're gonna leave. We're gonna be back on Monday with a stacked show with two guests. We will be in New York. I will be in New York. Anthony won't, but we're doing a show. Don't miss it. Subscribe, ring the bell. Enjoy your weekends. See you soon.